You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the epistle to the Ephesians. We were noting how the epistle begins with this understanding that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. As those who've been baptized, we have the indwelling Spirit, the gift of the person of the Spirit, who works in the life of the believer, who continues to fill the believer and continues to bestow the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we went through that epistle, we were noticing that there were warnings. Specifically in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul warns us, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That's Ephesians 4, verse 30. Again, here we are told that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, the one who is at work in us, like they had done in the days of old, in the days of Moses, when they grieved the Holy Spirit after they had been redeemed from Egypt. And so again, if you recall, in chapter 5, we talked about how Paul warns us, saying, "Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. That we are to continue to be filled with the Spirit through the Spirit-filled Word of Jesus. For Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit without measure, and the words of Jesus are Spirit and truth. Now, in particular, there's two things that we wanted to gather from today's lecture. And that is this: those who have been baptized have the indwelling Holy Spirit who is at work in them, who desires to continue to work in them. He is the power of God at work. On the other hand, those who are unbelievers, those who are not in Christ, have the devil who is at work in them. And it is the devil's desire that God's kingdom would not come to them, that God's will would not be done to them, and then, of course, God's name would not be hallowed by them. So let us look at this contrast that is laid out for us in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Again, we note that it opens up with these words in verses 13 and 14 of the first chapter. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Again, the him is referring to Christ. So in Christ, when you heard the word of truth and you believed in Christ, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. For the gospel of your salvation is that message of the cross that brings the Holy Spirit, bestows faith upon those who hear. Now in chapter 2, Paul gives to us some information that is profound. He's speaking to those who have heard the word, those who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he says this in chapter 2, "And you, the ones who have heard before and been baptized, were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." These are these Gentile converts who were alienated from the people of God and God's promises. But now the Holy Spirit has gathered them in, enlightened them with his gift, and made them holy, sanctifying them with the blood of Christ. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you used to walk in these ways when you were dead in your trespasses. And he goes on and says, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And so this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where this contrast is made between the children of God, who have been brought out of darkness and into light, contrasted with the children of wrath, who remain in disobedience, who are being oppressed by the devil, who are being ruled by the devil, who is called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now work in them. And so we have a contrast here, that the baptized believer has the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is working in them to bring the fruits of the Spirit. Whereas those who are outside of Christ, those who are the unbelievers, they have the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is work in them. It is the devil who is at work in those. And so when you follow Paul's line of logic in chapter 1 to chapter 2, you're making this contrast between those who have heard the word, those who have been baptized, those who continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit in listening to the voice of God, with those who refuse to listen to God, those who dwell in darkness, those who are oppressed by the devil. Then you see where he goes in chapter 3, where he says this. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit." So that's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. So that Paul reveals to us this reality that while we still live in this fallen creation, while we are still dwelling in this world, there is a very real devil who is active in the lives of the unbelievers. But there's also a very real devil who wants to mislead and distort God's word for the believer. And so this is a spiritual battle, and the lines have been drawn. And we have been enlisted in this fight through baptism. And in this fight, we have this wonderful gift, this weapon of prayer. And so Paul will pray for those who have been enlisted in the name of Christ to fight in this world against the devil, to struggle against the passions of the flesh and put to death sin in our own lives. And so Paul is praying for those of whom he is teaching. And so we learn from this that when we combine these chapters, that first of all, in the lives of the baptized, the Holy Spirit is at work. And second of all, in the life of the unbelievers, the devil is at work. And so there is a spiritual battle going on here. And so we understand from Paul the realities that lay before us, that we have been called out of darkness and the dominion of the devil to be partakers of the kingdom of God and to live in his light. So now let's dwell upon these two realities. Let's begin first with the baptized who have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So that in the baptized, in their lives, the Holy Spirit is at work and desires to continue to be at work. However, because we still live in this world, the devil is persistently at hand, waiting to push us to temptation, to push us over the cliff, to knock us down so that we would fall. He's continuing trying to lead us into unbelief by bringing doubts in our lives and false doctrine, false teaching. And that's why Paul continues to pray for those that he's teaching, that they would be encouraged, that they would resist the devil and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so throughout Paul's epistle, he wants us to remain in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God the Father, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So that as the baptized, we are learning to hate the works of the devil and learning to love the works of God. So Paul will tell us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through verses 19. So that Paul teaches us, as the baptized, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who desires to work in us, but he warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to refuse and resist the Holy Spirit, but instead resist the devil and his work. That there is going to be this temptation as we dwell in a fallen world, from the world itself, from the devil himself, and even from our own sinful flesh, to walk in the way of the unbeliever, to walk in the darkness of their minds, and to walk in the hardness of their hearts, which goes contrary to God, away from God. So Paul warns us about this issue that we will have to struggle with all our lives as we continue to dwell in a fallen creation, that we are simultaneously sinners and saints at the same time, that we are beginning to have holy desires from the Holy Spirit, but yet we continue to have unholy desires and the passions of our flesh. And so Paul calls us to this fight, to struggle with this, to wrestle with this, and not to let the devil dominate over us. So Paul continues in Ephesians 4, verse 25, and he says this, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Again, Paul is warning us that the devil is prowling around waiting for someone to devour. That we are to be on the lookout, to be sober-minded, to be aware, so that we do not give the devil an opportunity to take us and to mislead us, to take us away from Christ our Savior. So that we continue to understand that there is a devil who is trying to work in us, trying to tempt us, trying to bring to us a false belief and lead us into unbelief. And so we are encouraged by Paul that in this struggle against these invisible forces, that we would continue to live out our identity in Christ as the baptized, putting off the old self and its ways, the ways that want to walk in the world, that want to live in the passions of the flesh. And so we are to put to death sin, crucify it, and then put on Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we are ready for action in this spiritual battle. For God has called us and placed us in this life, stationing us as soldiers, so that we would stand our ground by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is how Paul concludes his epistle in chapter 6, using this language of a soldier, using this language of the struggle and the strife that we have in this life. It is a spiritual battle. So Paul will tell us in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 11, he'll say, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Again, we get this imagery of baptism, that we have been clothed with Christ, that we are to continue to live in Christ, that we have this whole armor that God has given us so that we would be able to withstand all these schemes of the devil who will try to trip us up, who will try to make us fall and make us fail. And so we would continue to live in faith, hearing God's voice, being as those who have been called out of darkness into His light, but yet continue to fight this good fight. So Paul continues in verse 13, saying this, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." That's Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 16. Again, Paul gives to us this understanding that there is a spiritual battle here. This is not about a circus entertainment that we try to go out in the world and just fatten up the goats and tell them how great it is to be a Christian. No, as a Christian, you have been enlisted into a spiritual battle. And there is truly an evil one who wants to take you out. But God has stood you in your place where you are in life right now. He has put you there. And He is the one who gives you the strength to stand firm. And so Paul will continue to encourage those who are in Ephesus who are put in that place to stand firm. And he says this in verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So again, that's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. This military image continues that God gives us all the defensive weapons that we need, all of the defensive armor. We have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, so that we can withstand all of these attacks by the devil. And notice that these are all these defensive weapons that God gives to us, if you will. Whereas He gives us this one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is that written scripture that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the prophets and the apostles, that we have as a sword to fight off the devil. But notice how this is connected with prayer in the Spirit. For the Spirit Himself prays for us in our weakness when we do not know what we ought to pray. But there's this total combination here, this package between all of these defensive weapons He gives us, the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, and this offensive weapon of the sword, and it's all tied to this activity of praying. Praying in the Spirit is connected to the Spirit-filled Word. And so we have this word. We continue to listen to this word. We continue to use this word as the Holy Spirit Himself continues to actively use this word in our own hearts. And then in conjunction with this, we have this gift of prayer through which we can pray to God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. And so Paul tells us that we are to keep alert with perseverance as we pray. We are in this battle, and we pray for ourselves, and we pray for others, fellow saints who have been baptized, being called out of darkness, and we also pray for those who are to hear the gospel itself. So Paul asks the saints to pray for him as he boldly proclaims the mystery of the gospel, so that the same Holy Spirit who is at work in us through the word, his word, through prayer, is also at work in the hearers of the word of the message of the cross through our prayer, that Paul would boldly speak and that the word would have free course, bringing more people into the kingdom of God, calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so Paul tells us that we have this spiritual battle for our own soul and for the souls of those who are in the world, those who are being dominated and oppressed by the devil. And so our weapons here are the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us when we know not what to pray. And so secondly, when we understand that the devil is at work in the life of the unbeliever, we also know that it is the Holy Spirit who desires to be active in the message of the cross as it is proclaimed to the unbelieving world. So that as John says in his epistle, chapter 3, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And so we learn that Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil, the oppression of the devil, who is at work in the unbelievers, that they would be brought into his kingdom. And so that we understand that they now are following the course of this world. They are following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in them. So we must understand this spiritual reality. We can't just go out and tell somebody, hey, why don't you believe in Jesus? And then try to pitch a sales to them like a used car salesman saying, if you become a Christian, everything will go great for you. You will have happiness, and you will have prosperity in this world. And let me just convince you that you ought to be like me, because I am a Christian. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's not about our power of persuasion. It's not about the church putting on a great entertaining show that all the unbelievers would come and be excited about. Instead, it is about the believers, the church, speaking the word of God, realizing that the devil is at work in the unbeliever. The unbeliever doesn't want to hear this word. The unbeliever is not interested. So that we understand that the devil is blinding the unbeliever. This is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. See, the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The god of this world, that is the devil whom they follow, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is working them, is the one who blinds them so that they cannot see and they have no desire to know the message of salvation. Jesus himself even says in Matthew chapter 13, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. Jesus is interpreting the parable where he talks about the seed and the birds of the air coming and taking that seed before it is able to actually take root and bear fruit. That's Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. So that as those who want to proclaim the wondrous things of what God has done to bring us this gift of salvation in Christ Jesus, we must understand that this is a spiritual fight. And so in a spiritual fight, we have to fight in the way of the Spirit of God. And that is only through the gospel, the message of salvation through which the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit is bestowed, and faith is given. So as those who are called out of darkness and to be part of this kingdom of light, we want to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this message of the cross. We want to continue to increase our understanding of the knowledge of salvation, so that the meditation of our hearts and the words of our lips will be pleasing in the Lord's sight. As we go out and we proclaim to others Jesus and the salvation that he brings. And so this is why Paul was sent out. This is why the Lord institutes this office of holy ministry, the ministry of the Spirit through which the gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. If you look at Acts chapter 26, we hear this. Jesus is talking to Paul as he is revealing to Paul this knowledge. Jesus says in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. This is why Christ sent out the apostles, to give to us this apostolic teaching that in Christ alone there is the forgiveness of sins, that they are sent out into the world to proclaim this message of salvation. And we are those who have received this wonderful gift as we continue to gather around the gospel proclaimed, the gospel written, the gospel delivered in water and body and blood. These are the means through which the Holy Spirit desires to work to take the veil off that the devil has cast upon the unbelieving world and to open these blinded eyes. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, saying, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, And may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.